Let's do this. 807 FM Talk 1065 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad you're along. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Heads up, too. You go to the original Oyster House today, tomorrow, later on in the week, over the weekend. If you go for dinner and you schedule it around sunset, which is actually getting a little bit earlier because we've passed the, what equinox is it? We're officially summer. So we got vernal equinox, autumnal equinox, and then the summer solstice. That's right. So now we are starting to get shorter by a little bit in days. So if you get there, sunset time at the original Oyster House, grab yourself a great dinner and take a picture of the sunset while you're there. If you're on the causeway, I would suggest maybe framing up the sunset with downtown Mobile, something like that. If you're at the Gulf Shores location, you got Little Lagoon. What a great backdrop that is. The folks at the original Oyster House say you can take it from inside or right outside the restaurants, and then post that picture to the Facebook page, facebook.com/originaloysterhouse, with the hashtag OOH Sunset. You put that up there, and when you do, make sure you let your friends know so they can campaign for you with likes and, you know, clicks there on your the Facebook page. And this goes through August 31st, and whoever has the best sunset photo, you're getting dinner for two, a $50 value, plus great prizes, including an Original Oyster House tote bag filled with goodies. Details on their website at originaloysterhouse.com, and of course on their Facebook page for the Original Oyster House. But take that sunset photo, grab dinner, and hashtag it OOH Sunset. All right, let's say hello to the namesake of QuinnHilliard.com, also the author of Mad Jones Heretic and the latest part of the trilogy to be released, Mad Jones Part 2, right?
Three of them are now out. Mad Jones Heretic, Mad Jones Hero, and Mad Jones Agonistes. The entire trilogy is out, otherwise known as the Accidental Prophet Trilogy, available at Amazon.
You wouldn't think to Mad Jones, Mad Max. I mean, just to stick with that theme, you went different. You went Agonistes, so you went Greek, where I would have gone Australian.
Maybe so. Maybe I blew it.
But
by the way, I just heard your advertisement for the Original Oyster House. I remember in September you all talking about getting Original Oyster House in the studio just before Christmas. And I said I wanted to come, and y'all never invited me. I'm upset because I love the Original Oyster House.
Well, next time, Cecilia, if you're listening, and we have Original Oyster House in studio, let me know ahead of time, and let's make it for a Tuesday, and then Quinn will be in studio.
Yay!
Not on the telephone, Dave, because believe me, I can eat some oysters and shrimp at 8:09. I have no problem with that. I want to talk about Alabama's Democrat senator and the upcoming confirmation hearings for Brett Kavanaugh. Talk to me about what this push is for Doug Jones to have the phones ringing there at his office in Washington.
Well, look, it's really important to confirm Brett Kavanaugh. He is a really fine human being who I've seen. I mean, not that I know well, but I've known him for over 20 years, and I've watched his career for over 20 years. He's an excellent judge. He's very fair-minded. He's very compassionate, but he is very, very smart, and he follows the law. He has a long history of sticking to the law rather than just saying what he wants his policy preferences to be, and he's a conservative in that old-fashioned best sense.
I need you to talk in the phone a little bit more here.
Okay.
I'm in a little trouble hearing you.
So anyway, I was just saying Brett Kavanaugh will make a great judge. It's very, very important that we get Brett Kavanaugh confirmed. And Doug Jones, our own senator, is a very key player in this because, of course, Republicans only have a one-seat margin in the Senate, and they may, for various strange reasons, lose Rand Paul, which means that they need a Democrat to vote for Brett Kavanaugh to be sure to get him through. And Doug Jones should vote for Brett Kavanaugh because Alabama supports conservative judges. And if he does not vote for Brett Kavanaugh, he will clearly, clearly be going against the wishes of his constituents. The key thing is to let him know that early, before he can make a commitment to Chuck Schumer and company not to vote for Kavanaugh. They put pressure on him early to come out and say, I'm joining with Chuck Schumer and I'm not going to vote for Kavanaugh. And sometimes he might not actually say it early, but he makes the commitment early. He therefore needs to hear from his home constituents early as well, not to make that commitment to Chuck Schumer, and again, and instead to come out in favor of supporting an incredibly talented, well qualified judge in Brett Kavanaugh.
Quinn, I got to ask this. This is like the 201 or 301 question here. I mean, the basic discussion, I'm following you. The 100 level course is make the phones ring, tell Doug Jones that the his constituents in the state of Alabama want him to vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh. But the other part of this is the political play, and I'd love to get your insight into this. If you are Doug Jones and you're looking at this, doesn't part of your decision making go to 2020? Doesn't it go to what you think is going to happen when you run for office again? Because it, you know, or the next election cycle, doesn't it? Because you have to look at it and go, okay, if I go against, especially if it's tight here, if I go against the wishes of Chuck Schumer, I probably won't get the backing, or maybe he will, of the DNC, the national machine. But that means he thinks he has a chance in the next cycle versus a situation where you'd say, okay, well, I probably don't have a chance, so I want to have a great legacy and be popular when I go back home to Alabama, so I will vote to confirm Kavanaugh. I mean, do you think anything like that comes into play where you're thinking ahead and what the decision you make in 2018 that comes back up in 2020?
Oh, it clearly does. I mean, Doug Jones came out and said, well, that's not how he approaches things. He's not thinking about the election.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
No, that's not right. He clearly must think about re-election, but in thinking about re-election, what that means is he is thinking about what his constituents actually want. Look, it is the Democrats to have any chance of retaking the Senate in 2020 are going to need to try to somehow hold on to Alabama, to hold on to Doug Jones. They are going, the National Democrats are going to support him no matter what. But he will have no chance at winning if he repeatedly goes against the wishes of his constituents. So this is in some senses, it should be a free vote for him to buck Chuck Schumer and say, sorry, I'm not going to listen to the National Liberal Democratic Party. I'm going to represent the views of my constituents. Because Brett Kavanaugh is a clearly qualified judge, is a clearly good and decent person, clearly has integrity, and those are the only three things that matter. And so he should vote for Kavanaugh. But in order to make sure he understands the politics, that's why it's so important for people to call him now, because you don't understand. I've been up there just how much pressure the left-wing pressure groups put on these senators. They make their lives holy Hades. So does Chuck Schumer. So do Elizabeth Warren and her people. And so he needs to be reminded how important it is. And you can call his Washington office at 202-224-4124. Again, that's 202-224-4124. Even better, though, it has more effect if you write and just address it. U.S. Senator Doug Jones, U.S. Senate, Washington, D.C., 205-4124. A letter works better than a call. A call works better than nothing. But always be polite and always make sure they have your name and your city, if not at least your city, preferably your address.
So, I mean, like through snail mail, Quinn? I mean, not email? You think better to do a physical letter?
It's better for snail mail. It anybody can shoot off an email, and the workers, the staff in the office get thousands of emails. Now, clearly, it's better to send an email than to do nothing, but it's so sort of impersonal. You know, they just see a whole bunch of names on the screen. If they get a letter that shows you took the time to write, and it also means, in effect, they have to send a letter in answer, and that that has a big psychological impact on them. Again, I worked on Capitol Hill for 5 years. I know how this works. And if your letter doesn't have to be long, but it just says, Dear Senator Jones, I am impressed with Judge Kavanaugh. I will not vote for you ever if you vote to oppose him. Please vote for him, sir. I would greatly appreciate it and sign your name.
All right. I want to get to how people will vote in just a second, but let me throw this in. If you can carry this up the line to the national folks here, this little Sullivan angle on this. Why don't the constituents buy up postcards for places in the state of Alabama? Gulf Shores, Cheehaw Mountain, Cathedral Caverns, Tennessee River, the different places in the state, and buy those postcards and send their message in on a postcard with a picture of somewhere in the state of Alabama.
Maybe the battleship.
The battleship. How about that?
Well, I mean, again, anything is better than nothing. A call, I mean, an email is probably better than a call, but a call works. A postcard is better than an email. A letter is better than a postcard. But the more personal you can make it without taking too much of your time, the better. But the problem with postcards is it's sort of like the emails. They get, all of these postcards that all look alike. They're all the exact, same wording. And so that just looks like something mass-produced by some lobbying group.
I'm just trying to add some flavor to it, Quinn. If you want to rain on my parade, man.
No.
I'm messing with you, Quinn. I'm messing with you. On the voting side of it here, the cynical part of me says, okay, and I'm with you. I want Brett Kavanaugh confirmed as well. I want this to happen. But I could argue that even with a Doug Jones vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh in 2020, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's going to be a Democrat versus a Republican. And unless that Republican is extremely flawed, then Doug Jones, as we sit now, will lose.
He has an uphill battle. But he has just shown that a Democrat can win. Republicans have shown that they can screw up and maybe put up a candidate who either is flawed or is made to look like he's seriously flawed. And so Doug Jones knows that he's basically trying to be the camel that twice gets through the eye of the needle. But he knows that if the needle is closed, he can't get through that eye at all. If the eye is completely blocked out or whatever, so he needs to have at least some opening. And you've got to remind him that this is something where you will not even give him an opening. Your family will not even give him an opening. You will not even consider voting for him if he goes against his constituents' wishes on something this important.
All right. People want to continue this conversation on social media. How do they find you on Twitter?
At Quinn Hillier. That's Quinn Hillier, 2 L's. At Quinn Hillier.
All right. And if people want to pick up the trilogy, where do they go?
Amazon.com. Either put Mad Jones or Accidental Prophet or put my name.
There we go. Quinn, thank you, man.
Thank you.
All right. Coming right back, going to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll talk to you about this and a whole lot more when we get back.
It's missing half the things she bought. Yeah, tequila makes her clothes fall off.
Part of the campaign to sell more tequila. That's Joe Nichols on this National Tequila Day.
Great song. Great song.
There's as spirits go, I was looking through, there are probably, whiskey may be number one, but tequila a very close second in song titles.
Oh, yeah, for sure. In song titles?
Yeah, I'm just looking through. Like, there's not so many songs about vodka.
Mm-mm. No, well, just, you know, it's not as fun of a... It can be fun, but when you're ranking the funness of certain drinks, tequila's right there at the top.
There's some classic. There's a few for scotch and others, but whiskey and tequila definitely
lead the list. I thought you were talking about most used spirits at the Floribama, where tequila is definitely at the top of that list.
Definitely is. All right, let's go to the phones at 343-0106. First up to Matt, Taxman, downtown Fly Creek. Hey, Taxman.
Hello. Look, life after political office, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Doug Jones called into Senator Schumer's office. Senator Jones, we need your vote on this judgeship. You need to be with the Democrats. You know we support you. And when you run again, you get all of our money. Yes, sir, Mr. Schumer. Bye. Now, the people of Alabama, throw him out. Well, he'll never get any help or any job with the Democrat Party. He done crossed the big man.
You know, I wonder, Taxman, this other part of it I was thinking, I didn't want to get into it there with Quinn, but with Walt Maddox, you know, running for governor of the state. I wonder if there could be a play where, let's say Doug Jones was already deciding he was not going to vote to confirm Kavanaugh, and that he would go to Schumer and say, okay, I can do this, but part of that play is I need the DNC machine that came out for me in that special election to come in and try to get Walt Maddox elected governor. You know, I mean, what kind of play would he make? Would he take it one person, you know, down the line and say, hey, we could have a Democrat governor, Chuck?
That's a good question. Hey, that's good. I'm glad you put that in the mix, man. That sounds real interesting. Anyway, you do not turn down Chuck Schumer now, let me tell you. And if that boy loses in the state of Alabama, he's gone forever in our state, and the Democrats say, go somewhere else, boy. And he'll never get another job in politics or appointed, you know what I mean? But this is good. Just keep at it. Keep at it. Okay, bye.
Bye. All right. Thank you, Taxman.
I think it's interesting. New York Times put an article out yesterday saying that Senate Democrats, not one has met with Kavanaugh yet. They call them courtesy visits, I guess, before it actually comes down to time to confirm Kavanaugh. None of the Democrats have met with him, while 23 Republican senators have met with Kavanaugh since he was nominated for that position. But the Democrats are saying they want to wait until they can review every single thing, every single decision that Kavanaugh has been a part of, which would be over 1 million pages. In Kavanaugh's career.
Yeah, delay tactic.
So, but I wonder if Doug Jones won't, you know, use that delay tactic to his benefit and saying, you know, I'd love to tell you whether I'm going to vote to confirm Kavanaugh or not vote to confirm him, but I can't until I and the rest of the Democrats get over these 1 million pages of Kavanaugh's past work. I wonder if Doug Jones won't use that as one of his excuses.
I'm going to put this link up here during the break on the Twitter feed, or you can just go to alnewswire.com, the Alabama Newswire. It's AL. No space, alnewswire.com, which is a really cool site. It's an aggregator, a news aggregator, like Drudge is nationally. It's for Alabama news. And there's a headline here that says 54% of Alabama voters support the confirmation of Kavanaugh to SCOTUS. And it's a letter here from an opinion research group. In other words, you know, somebody who does audience testing, those kind of people, focus groups we've heard of.
Mm-hmm.
North Star, it says here, North Star Opinion Research conducted surveys of voters in Alabama, Indiana, North Dakota, and West Virginia, July 10th through 16th. The reason that grouping of states is important, those are states that went for President Trump, but that have a Democrat senator. All right, so that's why we're lumped together there. They go on to say here, each is a state that President Trump won in 2016 that has an incumbent Democrat senator who voted in favor of Justice Neil Gorsuch's confirmation last year, with the exception of Alabama's Doug Jones, who was not yet in the Senate. We find strong support for Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation among voters in all four of these states. They said the highlights of the research are, and they said here, majority of voters in all four states say U.S. Senate should confirm Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Said North Dakota voters say that Judge Kavanaugh should be confirmed by a 60-22%, compared to 55-30% for West Virginia. 54-30% in Alabama, and 52-34% in Indiana. Independents in each state strongly favor confirmation, and that's what everybody's worried about, the independent vote, by 60-18% in North Dakota, 59-23% in West Virginia, 54-30% in Alabama, and 48-38% in Indiana. But what's interesting, Alabama not the top. It's the biggest margins, North Dakota. Indiana and Alabama are towards the bottom of that, but it's still 54% of Alabamians surveyed say confirm Brett Kavanaugh.
Interesting. Lower than I thought it would be.
We'll get your calls and texts when we return at 343-0106.
Won't you pour me another tequila, Sheila? Take off that red satin dress. I crossed the border and I beat the dealer for all the damn golden warrants. I feel like a Pancho Villa, Sheila, and I got the pesos.
Great. Thank you, Fred. My buddy on the text line there, that's Bobby Bear and Tequila Sheila, as we go through and some of the deeper cuts for tequila songs, because there's like a gajillion songs that have tequila. Why are we, if you're just joining us, why aren't we talking about tequila? Well, today, National Tequila Day. And by the way, I'm impressed. You know, we've talked about on Twitter when big companies have a good Twitter presence and those of them that just step in a pile of it.
Yeah.
And we've suggested Burger King, very, very good.
Yeah.
Right? Or no, Wendy's.
Wendy's is the one.
Wendy's
that,
is the best. And Wendy's is the best. They get in Twitter beefs online and all that stuff.
Remember, they came out with a rap attack song.
That's
on the
right.
Other fast food restaurants.
Right. So, yeah, I read a whole article on the woman that runs her social media. She's brilliant. She's a great writer and creative. Wendy's wins. There's other brands that have absolutely stepped in it out there. But I'll say Waffle House, at least for today, has stepped into the winner's circle.
Uh-huh.
Their tweet this morning, it says, to those celebrating National Tequila Day, will be there for you tomorrow. Very good, Waffle House. Y'all get it. Whoever's running that was good.
Yeah, it's like Waffle House has seen a snapshot of my life, and they've realized that after tequila, I usually am at Waffle House the next day.
Coming up, we'll talk about the count today, 58 provisional ballots to be counted at noon today that will decide the House District 102 runoff. We'll get into that in just a second. I do want to read through some of these texts here. Jim says, hey, Sean, he has a family member that was in charge of the Jones campaign, Doug Jones campaign in Tuscaloosa. And according to his relative, if Jones does vote to confirm Kavanaugh, he won't hold any office in Alabama again. You know that, and Jim, that's kind of the savvier analysis of this, because you know, Quinn says, well, you know, he can vote to confirm Kavanaugh. And I'm actually, you know, I would do the same thing, except I'm going to send a postcard to Cathedral Caverns to Jones to vote to confirm Kavanaugh, the president's choice there. But even if he does that now, this idea that he votes to confirm Kavanaugh and then in 2020, Alabama voters, Republican voters will say, oh, well, he voted to confirm Kavanaugh, so I will vote for him over the Republican. Now, if stranger things have happened, it could be who knows what the candidates will look like. I mean, we have actually quite a few names already in the mix, one of them being Bradley Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a situation where you have Bradley Byrne running against Doug Jones, and you have Doug Jones going, oh, remember that time I voted to confirm Kavanaugh? I don't think it amounts to a hill of beans in 2020. I, once again, understand that I would, just like Quinn suggested, I would push as well to have Jones confirm Kavanaugh. It's what, 54% of the people in that survey, Alabamians, want to have happen. But this idea that a vote to confirm in 2018 is going to be a winning plank of a platform in 2020, I don't believe it.
Yeah, he's already, I mean, before we even know, I mean, you just mentioned Congressman Byrne likely to run against him, but before we even know who his opponents are, we already know he's a massive underdog coming into this next Senate election. So this is, it's right at this point, this is a lose-lose decision for him. And what's worse, losing the support and the money from some of the bigger Democrats that have endorsed him in the past and some of those networks that are able to put the money behind him, or, like you said, just having that small footnote that his opponents will use against him coming up in 2020, saying, oh, you don't want to vote for this guy. He did not vote to confirm Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that.
Especially in today's political climate, that doesn't seem like it moves the needle one way or the other anymore.
Well, it's going to be long since forgotten. Think about, you just mentioned, think about how quickly this news cycle rolls, okay? So right now, and now through confirmation, I agree. Once again, you got to understand what I'm saying. I am on board with this push to get Senator Jones to confirm Kavanaugh. But the idea that, you know, his get here is to do that because it'll help catapult him to a win in 2020 in the Senate, I'm just going to say what I think, and I think that it doesn't amount to a hill of beans then. I just don't think if you have some highly flawed, you know, horrible candidate running on the Republican side, that's one thing. But if you have just somebody who's basically, you know, can get up there and just speak with, you know, some bona fides on conservative ideas, Doug Jones doesn't win. He just, whether he voted to confirm Kavanaugh or not, it's just my take.
Will we ever see politicians working across the aisle like we have in the past? Do you think it'll ever get back to at least a little bit more working together? I know Joe Manchin, the senator out of West Virginia, Democratic senator, and that's another state a lot like Alabama where they went Trump in the general election, but they've got that Democratic senator. He's the first to go ahead and set up a meeting with Kavanaugh prior to this whole confirmation process. Yesterday, he said that he's going to meet with Kavanaugh on Monday, but he's the first Democrat, and he's the only one who's announced that he will talk with Kavanaugh. Is he in, and I don't know exactly how his election is looking in West Virginia, but I wonder if it's more important for him, if this is a bigger deal, how Manchin reacts to this Kavanaugh thing than it is how Jones votes on Kavanaugh.
I think you're right. I think it is a bigger deal for Manchin. And Manchin has been one on the record that he's, you know, while he's a Democrat, he's, you know, pro-Second Amendment and these things, which I want to bring up something about Lieutenant Governor's race in a second. But will there be working across the aisle in mass? I don't think so. Not as the parties stand right now. Because look what the Democrats have done. The Democrats' answer to the populist bent, which is, you know, President Trump's populist bent is not, not rate card conservatism. It's populism. So the Democrat answer has been to go further left, which, as a theory, I don't know why they wouldn't strategically try to do a Democrat version of populism and run that against Trump, but they haven't. They've gone socialist, man. They've gone left, 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 and we talked about it yesterday. Will this leave in the lurch room for other parties? I think if there were other parties involved, maybe they would work across the aisle. The Democrats and Republicans, as they stand right now, I think you're going to see very little of that going forward. I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's just basically looking at the lay of the land. So with that being said, yeah, Manchin may, in this case, do it. But does it serve, you know, as you and this goes back to a lot of things. It talks about the redistricting and the way the districts are in the states where they make it a district for an easy win for the Democrats or easy win for the Republicans. You stop having to have politicians, you know, play to the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you make a very conservative district or a very liberal district, well, then you get, easy wins for Republicans and easy wins for Democrats. We talk about that a lot of times, even in Alabama, where we say, okay, well, the primary is the general in most cases for the Republicans. Well, there are states in the Northeast and out West and all that the same is true for Democrats, that the whole battle is done in the primary and not in the general. The general's like an afterthought to that. Mm-hmm. And as we've done that and made it easier to have wins for Republicans in this district or wins for Democrat in that district, you have less reason for anybody to play towards the middle because that's not where the win is made. The win happens by going farther left or farther right. And so the motivation to try to play towards the middle, work across the aisle, is gone. That's why I say I don't think that, and you look at a state like Alabama with our districts and maybe have one fewer district by then, but in 2020, whether Doug Jones voted to confirm Kavanaugh or not, which once again I think he should, But does that make a difference when people go to the polls in 2020? I don't think it does. I hear from you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus, Shakecia Clemons had her evening in court and the judge finding her guilty on two counts. The attorney says, Marcus Fox says they will appeal. I'm trying to figure out on what grounds there. Talk about that when we get back. Which, oddly enough, this is the Garth Brooks cover of the Eagles, because who knew that YouTube, you know, it was like the way Prince's music used to be. Everything for Tequila Sunrise, Eagles on YouTube, gone.
Really?
Yeah, gone. You know how they'll go in and flex their copyright muscle, and they've done that. So, yeah, so Tequila Sunrise, you can't get that. It's not available on YouTube unless you have, like, Sullivan's Garage Band. That's what I love, too. By the way, good morning, Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. You'll go online, and whatever song, you know, you're going to YouTube for, then if you get down, like, four or five entries below the original song, you'll have, like, the regular, you'll have the lyrics version, maybe a live version from that band, and then you get all the folks covering it.
Yes.
And there's some great covers out there, and there's some horrible covers out there. And that's what I love about the, I guess, the democracy of YouTube, that anybody can post up. I mean, an individual can post up just as much as a big band, and they can have their horrible version up there, and you can listen through and go, oh, man, why'd you post that?
Yeah, some of my favorites are like the bar cover band videos, like maybe some bar out in Tulsa will have a band that's on at 2:30 in the morning or whatever, and that's the one that comes up seventh when you search Tequila Sunrise. Yeah, I love those videos. Those are awesome.
Yeah, so treat yourself if you're going to look for whatever song, you know, rock and roll, country, R&B, whatever it is, and you find your song, you listen to it on YouTube, then scroll down, because they'll have other suggestions. Scroll down to where you see the people start covering that song. And like I said, sometimes you find some real gems. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some, you're like, holy cow, you know, this guy that does whatever, butcher, baker, candlestick maker during the day, sits down in his living room with guitar and just blows it away. And you're like, wow, good for him. And, you know, I follow those people and give them comment and all that. Then you'll find the opposite side,
which are just as good,
which are just as entertaining, just in a different way.
You said that you think tequila maybe right next to whiskey, the alcoholic drink with the most songs.
About, yeah.
Well, of course, there's beer also, but if we're talking strictly liquor,
let's talk spirits here. I believe that whiskey and tequila have to be tied. I have not researched this; it's off the top of my head.
But generally, the tequila songs usually a happy note. That's usually, if it's a song about tequila, it's about, hey, I'm at the beach, hey, I'm out here partying. But if it's a whiskey song, it's usually about drowning sorrows.
Wow. You know, you're right.
I mean, I'm sure there's a few fun whiskey songs out there and a few sad tequila songs. But generally, if you're going to write a country song or any song and you're going to include tequila, it's going to be happy. If it's whiskey, it's going to be a sad one.
But yeah, I'm having a little moment here because I think you're spot on. I'm trying to think of a happy happy whiskey song. I mean, like, you could figure AC/DC songs, but I don't think there's, even though they just reference, I don't think they're happy whiskey songs. Whiskey River, I guess, people sing it, and like, but it's a drowning sorrows song, right? And I'm trying to think, what whiskey song is a celebratory whiskey song? I'm sure we'll have somebody on the text line let us know, but you're right. Generally, it should be, you know, you should have some songs about tequila not doing you right, because over the years, just as analyzing people in tequila, that leads to the blues the next day. But the tequila songs are happy and the whiskey songs are sad.
We were talking about some crazy baby names earlier today. I think tequila probably has a lot to do with some of those names. Maybe that's why the baby was named what they were.
By the way, yeah, let me find that list, because we had that, I think, at the 7 o'clock hour. Y'all, just to let you know that people can make bad choices, especially, you know, coming to all kinds of things in their life. But when they add a new human being to the planet, there's no law to prevent them from giving them a bad name. The list came out. So Social Security Administration puts out their list of, you know, names for the previous year. So the 2017 list is out. And the folks over at nameberry.com decided to go through and find some of the stranger names. And these aren't, like, there's one-offs, that like a family name or something weird, but these are names that have multiple families naming their children this. And if you didn't catch it in the 7 o'clock hour, let me give you the short version here. Top 10, number 10, boys with the name Slayer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, some people say, well, maybe that's like the active slaying, and it's, you know, but to me it means 80s hair band. But so number, yes?
And if you do name your kid that, you are putting a label on them for the rest of it, at least their school career. Because if a teacher starts reading out the names at the beginning of the year and one of those kids' names is Slayer, they're going to be watched a little more closely than the rest of the kids.
It might be a little tough. It might be a little tough for little Slayer there in the second grade. Also on the list, I don't know how this happens, six girls in 2017 were named A, B, C, D, E.
That's just laziness.
Number eight on their list, seven boys named Stalin. Really? Stalin, do we need to send them history book, just talk about Stalin. Number seven on their list, 10 girls in 2017 named Yo-Yo. You know, I mean, that's, I don't know if it's like Yo-Yo Ma that would be coming, obviously, from an ethnic name. I don't know if they named him Yo-Yo like ethnic name Yo-Yo or like the thing you do.
Better than Hacky Sack or Slinky, I guess.
Right. They may be coming up on next year's list. 11 boys named Arson. Not Carson. Arson. Like the act of setting things on fire.
Bad name.
Number five here, Moo. Now, I know some, I've met a Moo over the years here in Mobile as a nickname. Moo. But this is the name on the registry, Moo. Seven girls and six boys named Moo. Also on their list, 12 girls and six boys named ESPN. Maybe it's supposed to be ESPN or something, but ESPN.
I'm laughing, but I might have a child named ESPN.
That may happen. 24 boys in 2017, according to the Social Security Administration, were named Lucifer.
Bad name.
Probably the middle name for the Stalin. So Stalin, Lucifer, Jones. Number two on their list, 51 girls named ISIS in 2017.
Bad idea.
You know, they might be going for the Egyptian god thing, but in today's climate, probably not the best name for your pretty little daughter.
That's a tough one.
All right, so that is ISIS, 51 girls. And you know, people think about the company and the cars. I think about the band that formed in the 90s, I think it was. 141 babies in 2017 were named Tesla. Tesla. So Tesla, you know, that's one of the names that may end up becoming more commonplace.
It's dangerous, though. That's like getting the tattoo of whatever the hottest theme is that year. You're like, oh, this is a great idea for a tattoo. If you name a kid Tesla and Tesla tanks in the next couple years,
that's right.
You're going to need to change that name.
Yeah, the people will ask, you know, Sullivan, why don't you know, you don't have any tattoos? I said, no. Is it because you have a thing against me? I said, no, I just don't have confidence in anything. I don't have it that I would give anything credence, because I'm pretty sure by next year I'll think it's stupid. So, all right, I'll be back at noon today. Will you do another show?
You want to do a show? Midday
Mobile?
Show?
I'll do a show at noon today, Midday Mobile. Laura Ingram on the way next.